Welcome everybody.
Yo, that is an intro.
we got it fucking fine-tuned to the best of our ability with our limited brain capacities.
I love that so much. That is my favorite. Everybody.
We're here at Such Good Shoot. As you can see, I have been left to my own devices. Shane and Dozer are not with us tonight. They are on a trip. It's Christmas time. They're going to New York, and they left me home alone. Oh, my God. I am joined today, of course, by good friends Anthony Blackwell Jr. and Joe Schinkel, the premier Joey. Okay. Yeah,
you got two PA house. Boys up in here. It's about to get crazy.
Sir. Yeah. And before we start, I want to get this out of the way because it's not fun, and I want to have fun tonight. I just want to take a minute to say, if anybody out there, any of our friends, anybody at all is struggling with any sort of just mental health issues, with depression, struggling with anything like that, and you need somebody to talk to, even if you don't feel comfortable talking to any of us or anybody, you know, there's the numbers. Go out there, get some help, get talk to somebody. Please take the time. People give a shit. And we want to say rest in peace to Daphne. And yeah, that was a really, really shitty moment. And we're going to drink to her and just say that. Yeah. Anybody who's struggling out there, you're not alone. Somebody's got your back. I'll be that somebody if I have to be. So.
Also, wrestling fans, be better. Don't be on any woman, just let alone wrestlers' comments. Just not thinking they're legit people. Like, they don't need to be told they don't look like they look like when they were 20, or commenting on weight, or just don't do it. Because that stuff takes effect to a lot of people too.
Hell yes, yeah. Just be good. Just fucking It's okay to have fun. It's okay to fucking become, but like treat people with respect in general. Yeah. So, anyway, we'll move on to, it's better news. It's still stupid news, but it sounds like Triple H is out at NXT now, which, is a weird thing to say. Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard are taking over, which is,
excitement's coming.
Yeah. Let me hear your predictions. I want to hear predictions for some of the storylines that we'll be seeing, let's say 6 months to 8 months from now, going forward on NXT for any of the belts. Anything crazy? Do you see anyone fighting over, I don't know, fucking a stuffed animal, or the right to be the first one on the big slide at the playground?
Here's a crazy story. They're gonna get this guy who is a serial killer, and he's going to kidnap everyone, right? But we don't know what he actually does. They do come back alive, but they're traumatized, so you do the math. And then he kidnaps people, particularly a girl, and she falls in love with him. I think that would be a crazy storyline. That would be really out of the way. Oh, wait, that's happening on NXT.
Oh, God, already? I haven't been watching recently because it's just all been like, what the fuck? But they, that is almost like a Lucha Underground storyline with like Mariposa and fucking Sexy Star and, Marty the Moth Martinez.
Yeah,
like they kidnapped Marty Poe, or they kidnapped Sexy Star and like tortured her in a basement for a while. And like, she would like, anytime that Marty the Moth would come out, she would like huddle in the corner and like cry, and he would flap his moth wings at her. It was fucking weird, but yeah. It's Lucha Underground. But that's Man.
I don't know. Do we even know who's going to be in NXT within the next, like, 6 months? You said like 6 weeks. Like, who knows?
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, they did just announce the first class they were signing for NXT, which included, I believe it was Rikishi's youngest son.
Yeah,
PA boy. He wrestles a lot up here in Allentown.
Yep.
At yeah. WXW. I was at WXW's first show back, and he did a run-in to save his cousin Alpha Jr. And Lance on Oahu. He runs in to make the save. And I thought it was one of the Usos because they have the same arm tattoo. They have everything. Like, and then I realized that they have even younger brother, who is this guy. Looks great in the ring. Great look. I mean, he looks like his brothers, but he's super talented.
Yeah.
Dude, that's legit. Like, yeah, the Samoan Dynasty that's happening outside of, you know, your mainstream WWE or anything is amazing. I mean, from like Jacob Fatu and MLW down, like they're all like just absolute killers. I love it. But damn, like you almost feel like, yo, are they going to ruin this kid? Like, is he going to be just, you know, that's what they always do with Samoans. They always build on the family name. Like, it's all they care about.
I think, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's hard to tell. I mean, I think right now with the amount of money and attention they're putting into Reigns and, you know, like if anyone has a shot, you know, I think he might. They have, you know, I think the one who they booked who's probably got maybe the most upside has, I mean, he's a big hoss. But we'll probably get fucked around the most is Ben Buchanan, who's, yeah, the son of Bull Buchanan. He's 6'4", 250. He's a high school
wrestler. He just made the cut by four inches.
Yeah, he's a high school wrestling champ in Alabama. He was undefeated in his weight class and fucking, like, in the 2019 to 2020 season. I mean, he's got the lineage, he's got amateur skills, and, you know, but because his dad is a former real wrestler, they're probably going to fucking shit on him, and God only knows what they'll call him.
It's really interesting, the landscape. Some of the reports out right now are a lot of talent want to leave, that Triple H is encouraging it. Because he knows it's going to suck. And there's a lot of people who were really passionate and really, really enjoyed that NXT brand. And they were ride or die. And one of the leaders is the first one rumored to be saying, I'm out. And that's Johnny Gargano.
Yep. Yep. And we were talking a little bit. And I think that, you know, then someone else that just right on right on his heels has got to be Tommaso Ciampa. Because he has made it very clear throughout his whole career with WWE that he wants no part with the main roster, anything to do with those guys. And I don't think it has anything to do with the wrestlers on the main roster. I think it has more to do with who runs it. And I think if those people come to run NXT, I don't think he wants to be there either.
Yeah.
I just read that he tried to clarify his statements about that and said it was more about the schedule and the travel. Going main roster, which I see as a part of it, but I mean, read between the lines, he's gonna get buried. So many before him have been, so like,
yeah, you know. Yeah. I mean,
and you can't even use the small man excuse because, you know, your first two-time champion or double champion goes up there and gets squashed. Your Karrion Kross goes up there and becomes something from Mad Max. So it's not always the small guys that are getting. It's kind of like the older class, like the Romans, that they all got the pass, and this younger generation just can't seem to catch a break.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it has to do with Vince and all these guys who run Raw, you know, Pritchard, and their egos. You know, they read, you know, like Vince might not, but the other guys all read the dirt sheets. Pritchard reads all that shit.
He's too much of a yes man to tell Vince that people outside of the world are thinking his company is garbage.
But I think also part of it is that he knows that fucking, like, he can't do something better than that. So the only option is to make the thing that's better worse.
Yeah.
And so that's the plan, is to go in there and be like, yeah, we're going to fuck this up. People enjoy it too much.
Yeah,
and it's making us look bad, and it's like, you guys are fucking so stupid.
So who, if they were to make releases, let's just say they do a generous 10-person release right now of the roster, not just saying NXT, who are some people, are some names that you you're concerned for?
On the whole roster?
Mm-hmm.
God, I mean, anyone's open. Yeah, I mean, I would definitely think Johnny Gargano would be on that list. I can't imagine him being anywhere near the top of the list of people they want to keep, because he's like kind of the prototype of all the people that Vince loves to make fun of.
Yeah.
I'll put Cesaro on that list. I think that's a guy, you know.
You think they'll cut him even though he just re-signed?
They did it in the past 2 years. Didn't the Good Brothers sign like 3 year or 5 year deals, and like 8 months into it, they cut him.
Yeah.
So I think that they're looking at the big picture. You know, they made it very clear they want stars under 30, over 6 feet. I mean, Cesaro's getting up there in age.
Ziggler.
Yeah.
Ziggler's a company guy. He does the behind the scenes stuff. Cesaro supposedly wants to do more training stuff. I think he's a guy that they keep just because they know if they let him go, he's a rocket ship.
I just wonder. I mean, because when we talked to Mike Chioda, he seemed to be pretty convinced that a sale to Disney was happening. So.
Yeah.
And if that happens, all bets are off.
The thing is,
outside of your top draws, they're you know, and I'm talking like you got to be Roman Reigns, you got to be Bobby Lashley. I'm just
trying to picture how a company, like a wrestling company owned by Disney, would operate in any way. Like, there's like, I can't even imagine what like the library. You know what I'm saying? The content library and access to it would look like. Like, would they, like, you're just like.
Well, Disney still owns Peacock, I believe, right? Like, isn't that part of the huge dirge? Like, they have. When Disney bought whatever it was, I thought that was like they own Hulu, they own a few different other things.
I think Fox deal, right?
Yeah,
Fox, NBC, yeah. Universal. I think they're still separate.
I think it's still separate of that.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I mean, it's very weird because like you have them on Fox TV advertising NBC, Fox. You know, and it's just like it's a very weird. And I know that like Fox was pissed about that, and like there was a lot of back and forth between them. So yeah.
If Fox is getting mad, they're promoting their pay per view. That's not on their channel.
That's crazy. The whole thing is fucking crazy, but
too many hands in the pot.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of what it comes down to, you know? And I think that, we might as well just jump into some of these general questions that I have written down here on this scrap of paper. Cause I think that's a good lead into it is, you know, like we're in a really good era for professional wrestling right now in a lot of ways, talent wise, like option wise, but is this right now the best era? If it's not the best era, what is the best era in professional wrestling?
Hands down, this generation, this era we're in right now, is the best era in professional wrestling. They maybe character wise and some mic skills were not there, but when it comes to just raw talent and the fact that we have wrestling on every single day of the week, they're not getting the numbers of an old school Attitude Era, but the fact there's so much outside of just one company to watch companies is exciting.
And people don't watch TV the same way. I mean, if you look at, you know, the numbers that they did in the Attitude Era and you compare them to like numbers that people were doing when there was only three channels that you could watch, you know, and like looking at numbers of like, I don't know what the fuck, Howdy Doody, you know what I'm saying? Like, I guarantee you like numbers for those shows were fucking.
And do they combine the numbers of people who've watched physically on cable or satellite along with DVR and or people who DVR'd it, or even people who streamed it on like a Hulu or something?
No, because I don't think the Nielsen ratings count anything other than live viewing.
Yeah, and if people aren't watching it live through a cable box and they're watching it through a stream service like a Hulu Live or a YouTube Live, that probably doesn't factor in.
No, not usually. It really is like.
And how many people are watching a pirated stream on a TV show?
or watching, so like, or watching through a VPN or whatever, you know, like to get. And that's the thing is, like, everybody watches in such disparate ways now that, like, that
comparing, you can't track live TV the same way.
Yeah, you really can't. You know, like, I think better analytics, you know, is honestly, you know, is like looking at, you know, you have to wait like a week and then look at what YouTube clips, you know, what the actual viewing numbers are on like a clip from a show, you know, it seems like a better metric of to like what a show has done. You know, you look at like, oh, CM Punk, like coming back and like, yeah, the ratings for that even were like, they were good for, you know, like today's standard, but then you like go and look at how many people watched it on YouTube and it's insane.
Yeah, how many people watched on YouTube, how many people were there live, how many people like that, yeah. That night is bigger than just what TV metrics show.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, let's be real, that kind of proves the point right there that they can't track those metrics because it did a good number. I mean, and especially a good number for Friday night at 10 p.m. But at the same time, did like the YouTube clip blew up like, you know, a couple million views in hours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then there's people like me. Like I was at Ring of Honor, Glory by Honor night one for Friday night. So I knew being at that show, I'm not going to see it live.
Dozer!
There he is.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Dozer's here.
I like
So my hosting duties are almost pretty much done. Dozer, we're talking about the best era in professional wrestling. Do you have an opinion on what the best era is?
They all suck? No. they're all very different. And
I think it was posed as the best era to be always a fan, gonna, right?
Oh, just the best era in wrestling.
Yeah. You're always going to be partial to whichever era you grew up in. Probably the first era you're exposed to is going to be your favorite. Attitude was my first. Attitude, I think, is one of the best. But I'm biased. The early 2000s, post-Attitude, pre-PG, the Ruthless Aggression era, didn't suck. It was good. If I was a little bit older, I'd probably be like, fuck yeah, man, early 90s, 80s, that's where it was at. Well, let's be real. Nobody's really clamoring for the early 90s.
Fuck you. I was a doink mark that you wouldn't believe.
I watched the rise of Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels during that time.
The premier Joey K was actually disappointed when Doink pulled off the fucking makeup and it was Chris Jericho.
He's like, God damn it, I wanted weird. Doink. This is bullshit.
So he's the one person who marked out for Doink during the Money in the Bank 2 years ago.
I was hoping for Dink as well, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't have Doink without Dink. I was just at a conference, like a con before a show, and there was two Doink the Clowns in the building. There was Doink the Clown, and then there was the Brooklyn Brawler, who has been known.
I was going to say, of course, Steve Lombardi was there.
Yeah. He was sharing a table with Marty Jannetty. It was the best thing ever.
Oh dear God!
Yeah, it was a lot of blow on that table. It was Brooklyn, Marty, and then next to him was the Nasty Boys and Jimmy Hart.
Oh Jesus
Christ! And the Nasty Boys were just telling embarrassing Marty Jannetty stories the entire time.
Yeah, it sounds.
So I'm fairly certain there was just a rule: don't let the drug dog near these tables.
And then next to them was the Godfather. So there was a lot of
Oh, Godfather, good friend of the show. We love Godfather.
Great friend of the show.
Yeah, Godfather and Dozer gargle whiskey together now. That's
apparently that's a thing that I do. Don't get it.
I can't do it, dude, unless you want to see me like fucking throw up, but that's only on our OnlyFans.
No, that's the OnlyFans.
For me, one of the best eras, like nostalgia-wise, I love the Attitude Era. Going back and watching it, it's nearly unwatchable. there are matches that are great, but like for the most part, it's really fucking bad. But
there's a lot of shitty matches.
Well,
they focus all on story, yet the commentary for the most part is terrible.
Yeah, once they fire the cat or whatever. And Jerry quits, it was a lot better for a while. Like, it really was. Like, it's kind of incredible how much he fucking ruined, like the watchability of that show. And as a kid, it was like, oh, this is hilarious.
He's making tit jokes for
going back and watching. Jesus Christ. But anytime they get someone like Paul Heyman on there, even like Shane McMahon on there, like those, man, I miss Vince McMahon on commentary. That was like one thing Vince was fucking great at. His fucking play by play was awesome.
Absolutely. You know, like I think with the eras, it's so hard. Like I grew up obviously like Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Randy Savage, that late 80s run. That was my first exposure to Attitude Era when I was a teenager. So for me, like that sticks out. And yeah, a lot of that shit is unwatchable. It's fucking terrible. But you have to remember at the time, you're switching between two shows. So when you got that shit, like I don't remember a lot of those shit matches because I was switching to something slightly less shittier happening. But it was so cool because I was going back and forth. You know?
Well, and WCW was always on a match. They were never talking about the match.
Yeah.
But there was always a match on the show.
Exactly. And so it kind of played off each other. But, you know, I think this era, like, A, talent-wise, like, you're seeing shit that's just doesn't compare to other eras because it was just not something even thought of, but the accessibility. There is wrestling on TV every night of the week. Like that's ridiculous to me. The fact that like, you know, I grew up in the era of tape trading too.
Right.
You know, like the only way you get to see shit from Japan is, you know, you're tape trading with somebody, you're mailing shit out, you're waiting for a package to come in, like that kind of stuff. So now it's like, oh no, shit. I'm just gonna throw on the Fire Stick. I got New Japan World. Oh, what's happening tonight? I'm still up at 3 a.m. So fuck it. I'll just watch this card. Like it's crazy. Like
I'm not sure what part of Pennsylvania you're from, but do you ever talk to some of the old school people that were a little older during the ECW era? And because we lived in Pennsylvania, we had like it was more or less on TV for us in some places, not everywhere. And they would tape it and put it like, and that they made a killing on the tape sale. ECW helped a lot of people in Pennsylvania with tape trading.
Oh, for sure. I was there, dude. That's the hardest part about going to the 2300 now, because it's like, man, I remember this place a real shithole.
I'm so outnumbered by you Pennsylvania people right now.
Yeah.
So wait, real talk, Dozer and Joe, you guys like grew up near each other?
Fucking same town, baby.
where heck are you from?
Narstown,
PA, baby.
All right, if I told you where I'm from, you probably never heard of it, but I'm near Pottsville. I'm between Pottsville and Hazleton. I'm in Schuyler County.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know where you're at.
Yeah.
I went to school in Kutztown. I was almost run over by a Mennonite man.
Nice. I was saying I live maybe the town right outside of Pottsville, Frackville, and I go to Deppin's Brewery all the time.
I got you. Yeah. I got you. Dude, I lived up in Berks County for a while, so we'd always travel up that way. So
look at this. What's up.
Yeah. PA, baby.
Yeah.
PA, the PA clan. That's good. That's good. We're building a little family, a little rapport here. So so talking about the best, there's a lot of opinions on who I'm sorry, I've been slacking. Anytime you see Nat, this is Nat. I forgot. We have to drink if we see Nat. He's a little shit. I don't feed him on Thursdays just so we can get him all amped up for the show and get us drunk. But speaking of the best of the best, who do you guys think there is one wrestler all time that you can put at the top of the list? Is that even possible? Oh, yeah. All right.
we have an answer already.
Let me just pull up my Zubaz.
He's got your Zubaz. So those are like, the Road Warrior.
I was like, Jimmy Hart, is he still in? Is he, you know, where's he at now?
No. If there's one wrestler who we're going to call the greatest, it ain't anybody we've really ever watched many matches of, and that's fucking Gorgeous George. So much of modern wrestling has come from what he started and the character he created that you got to call him the greatest.
I don't. You can call him the greatest.
I absolutely can. I just fucking did.
I heard you.
Can you hear me? I just said it out loud. Your ears working?
You. They are. I heard you. That's why I said I don't agree. What do you said HBK. You think HBK.
All day long.
All right.
Not as a human during his career, but as a pure talent.
They're professional wrestlers. Yeah. I can count on like... probably what, one hand, the number of like incredibly like good human being, like great human, like I would say probably
Mick Foley, John Cena. That's Mick about Foley, it.
John Cena, maybe DDP, Mark Marrow on that list of like good people.
It depends on what, at what age you caught him, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Yeah.
But like, yeah, I feel like Mick never in his entire life was an asshole to anybody.
No, Mick is like the sweetest human being of all time. Like, yeah. Goddamn, dude. He fucking loves dressing up as Santa Claus so he can make kids smile.
There's two people on this earth that I feel maybe Jesus reincarnated, and it's Mick Foley and David Grohl.
I can get behind that yet. Yeah.
It's not a bad list. So I'm sorry. Did you hit me with one? Joey?
Did I hit one? No, I haven't.
Yeah, I want to know. I want to know your top of the mountain. And if you don't think it's possible, you can tell me. You can be like, that's just not possible to have one person be in this business.
You know, okay, so true answer, yeah, I don't think it is possible. Like, you know, we said a little while ago, like, everybody's, it's the style. It's, you know, there's so many different things. What era do you pull somebody from? Who's doing what? You know, personal taste, character taste, things like that. So, but gun to my head, I'm gonna say Ric Flair. I've always been a Flair guy, and you know what? The biggest thing about Flair, yes, amazing on the mic, everything with the Horsemen, like his entire career is legendary.
Still rides the subway.
Just
that's the Long Island Railroad
dining on that first class meal. So you know, but like, you know, he put more guys over because you have to remember there was a time period where, yeah, there's a reason Flair's 16-time world champ, but
he's gonna be 17. He's going back for the NWA. He could definitely be Trevor Murdoch.
Yeah.
Apparently anybody can except Nick Aldis.
God damn it.
Oh, Jesus. You know, but like he put so many guys over. You were made if, oh wow, Ric Flair put you over, you know, doing the 60-minute match somewhere in like, you know.
Yeah,
bumfuck Iowa, like, you know, hey, it's an NWA title match, and he made some guy out there who's like a legend forever. You know, that's where I stand on it.
It's hard to argue Ric Flair. I totally know, but it is. It's hard to. I mean, that is like the first name that comes to my mind when you're talking about a wrestler, like the greatest wrestler, greatest like professional wrestler. Now there are guys who are obviously bigger stars, like Hulk Hogan is obviously, you know, in a lot of ways, probably the biggest star professional wrestling has ever produced.
You know, it's crazy. I even as a little kid, I could not buy into that type of character. Like, I'm just like, it's like, I'm three and I'm like, this match is boring. He's going to Hulk up and beat the guy. Like, he just, this dude never loses. I hate him.
Oh, he was boring as shit, but like,
but as a kid, even kids were like, this is the greatest. But I was a kid, like, give me Macho Man.
I never watched TV until probably, like, especially wrestling, until it's probably like 11 or 12. Yeah. And even as like a 4-year-old who never watched TV, like hippie ass parents, I knew who Hulk Hogan was. I knew who he was.
Yeah.
I had no like it wasn't like there was internet. It was just like I didn't even go to like preschool and shit. It was just like somehow.
Yeah.
That shit just is like in the popular culture so much that it was like, and there's,
you did see Thunder in Paradise. That's it. That's all you got.
But it is. But it was like it
fuck
was
that Suburban Commando, baby.
Suburban Commando, all of them, man. But it was hard. Like, it's hard to. I mean, The Rock is I would say at that cultural level now, but he's not. I don't see The Rock as being heavily associated with wrestling anymore. You know, like Hulk Hogan was always a wrestler. The Rock is an actor now. The Rock has been an actor. The Rock will occasionally do a wrestling appearance, but he's not a wrestler anymore.
I think the last time The Rock was considered a wrestler in a movie was The Tooth Fairy.
Can you give John Cena that nod where he's still a wrestler and movie star now?
He's still a wrestler.
But you wouldn't give him the nod for as a big name movie star now?
I would say he's transitioning really well. I think the latest Suicide Squad is I think
he's getting his own TV series on HBO.
Yeah, I think, yeah. But I think the Suicide Squad that he just did is really like, I mean, that was great. He did a really good job in it. And I think like Batista's Drax, like I think that's gonna be the thing that gets him. You know,
his new zombie movie was awesome, dude. After watching that zombie movie, I was like, I want Dave Bautista as Marcus Fenix in Gears of War movie.
Right, yes.
Yeah, like I need that in my life.
Yeah, I hated the movie, but I loved Bautista in it. Like none of it made any sense to me. I was like, what the fuck is going
there's
on?
There's two wrestlers I want in the Gears of War movie. I want Marcus Fenix as Bautista, and I want Coltrane as Keith Lee.
yes.
Yeah, I think both actually out of I think you're right. Cena is like right there. He's like next level. Rock's, you know, transition.
Yeah.
I read something about how he has so much pull with like Warner Brothers and shit now that he can just override decisions. He wanted Black Adam to be part of like the Snyderverse, and like they're like, well, we'll see what we can do now.
He's a draw.
Yeah, he runs shit in Hollywood.
He's a draw, dude. I mean, look at that smile and tell me that fucking like there's not money in those teeth. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is like when it comes to like there's a couple.
PA boy too.
Yeah, but and speaking of that, another guy who's a PA boy and one I think should be in the conversation for greatest wrestler. Now, maybe not the greatest professional wrestler, but I mean, really should be in that conversation. It's Kurt Angle.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Tony Depp and Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, no, fuck that shit. No,
but I was going to say Salvatore Sincere.
You know, you look at his career. You look what he did in the Olympics. You look at him transferring to professional wrestling with basically what, like 6 months of training, if that, and take into official, like, I mean, like in one of the most incredible in ring talents,
one of the best rookie years too.
Yeah. And it's, you know, like he should be in that. Granted, he didn't have the same impact as these other people, but when it comes to just pure goddamn talent and, you know, like just understanding every little bit of the business instinctually, like that guy had it. So,
yeah.
So I guess, I mean, that sort of leads into the next one I wanted to do is like who do you think had the biggest impact on professional wrestling?
I'm going to be a smart ass when I say this, but I kind of mean it as well. I think the art of a good heel is underutilized. So we always talk about Hogan, right? And Hogan was this big over thing, but I don't think if Hogan was partnered up with Iron Sheik at that point in time in his career, I don't think we Hulk Hogan goes over as hard as he actually did.
Make you humble. That's
I
right.
think Iron Sheik should get a lot of credit in the Hulk Hogan start.
Yes. Well, I mean, that without him getting the belt off him, then yeah, like where is Hulkamania? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sheiky baby, and a Sheiky baby, another still is impactful. We still, I mean, if Shane was here, we would
fuck have done, you Tuesday.
We would have done Sheik of the Week, but Shane's off gallivanting this evening. So
yeah,
but
it's got to be. I think when it comes to revolutionizing, it's there's three names that really do it. You have to talk about Cena, you talk about Hogan, and you're talking about Stone Cold. I think they're the three that, like if you look at the era of NBA,
I mean, in a lot of ways, those are the biggest names of their generation. I mean, Dozer kind of seem. I think you, in a lot of ways, already answered this with Gorgeous George.
Yeah, I answered with my prior question. I copy paste.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's sort of what I thought. Yeah. What you got, Joey?
I mean, I guess kind of the obvious answer is not even an in-ring talent. It's Vince McMahon. Yeah. If Vince doesn't do what he did and take it mainstream national, and yes, he stole from the territories and he did all these things, but without that exposure, do we even have anything remotely close to what we have today?
Yeah, but once again, every hero needs an anti-villain. If Stone Cold doesn't have Vince during the Attitude Era, that storyline doesn't blow up.
Yeah,
that's so very true.
So does that mean it's Bret Hart that becomes that? No, I mean, I'm serious. Is like, because without Bret Hart being a prick and refusing to drop the belt in to the person who owns it, like rightfully at the end, like we don't have the public fucking Vince being a villain and like him almost being forced into that position. Cause he didn't want to be the bad guy there. I mean, he even came out and was like, that was the whole Bret screwed Bret thing. And like all that stuff, he like tried to make Bret look like the bad guy. And then when that didn't work, it was just like, I guess I got to do it. And I mean, that blew up. And once that blew up and he was making shit tons of money on it, he ran with it. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Vince McMahon was sort of the obvious choice in my mind.
Also died in Pennsylvania, Vince McMahon. His limo blew up in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
I have two other answers of people who really changed and had, you know, like not always necessarily for the best, but I mean, Chris Benoit, I think, is an obvious answer for somebody who really changed the business. His death and the whole murder and all of that, I think really changed the way the public perceived it. I think that was like, you know, sort of the, you know, up until the recent resurgence, that was really the beginning of the end of professional wrestling being a mainstream cool thing. And, you know, it was when they really started paying more attention to chair shots, head shots, you know, traumatic brain injuries, and really just restructuring the way wrestling is done. You know, taking a lot of the blood out of it.
Now, all of those things. Would you go back in time to change that so we keep wrestling the way it was the entire time? Or do you accept for what it is because it is a safer project or a safer product for people so they don't go through things like that and get this severe CTE?
Oh, no. I mean, I watch professional wrestling. You know, people are like, oh, why don't you watch UFC? Every now and then I will, but the reason I watch professional wrestling is because I don't want to see people get hurt. Like, I genuinely don't want to see anyone get bad.
Severely hurt on purpose.
Yeah, like, I don't mind. Like, I love watching, like, you know, like a hard-hitting match where, like, they're snug. Like, I don't mind that. Like, I enjoy that. But I also, like, want to know that these guys, like, main objective is to keep each other safe. You know, like, there's something about that that, like, makes it feel like at least I'm not watching, like, just pure blood sport.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, like, I think the idea of, like, protecting these guys and making sure that they don't end up in a situation where, like, yeah, they're broken, their bodies are broken, they're mentally fucked up, and, like, they've got nothing to, like, fall back on. It just is. But I think the other answer for me, another answer for me is Andy Kaufman. Is another person who had a huge impact. I mean, talk about the first like huge celebrity like guest wrestling and like what he did to make wrestling mainstream with, I mean, Jerry Lawler on fucking Letterman, like multiple times, like some of the best Letterman segments of all time. You know, like really like brought some light and fuck, dude, like 30, 40 years later, people still were thinking that shit was real. Like, there was, like,
yeah.
Talk about fucking just selling it. Like, Kaufman, goddamn, dude, he went in there and...
Kaufman took a legit ambulance ride out of the stadium when Jerry Ball drove him. Mm-hmm. Like, he sold that. He goes, get a legit ambulance. Call an ambulance. And they're like...
And he wore that neck brace everywhere. And, yeah, I mean, it was... I mean, talk about just a great, like somebody who understood the business, wasn't like a good wrestler at all, but like he realized all he had to do was get on the mic and talk a lot of shit and get people riled up enough where they wanted to see somebody, anybody kick his ass.
So I have a name for you for possibly, I mean, could, right. but it's hard to say they're the greatest of all time because they still have some juice left in their career. But if you want to talk about how... No, you're close, though. I personally think this person is the guy who sparked a movement like the Elite. And he just made his return to wrestling after 7 years. I think CM Punk's speech, his pipe bomb, even though it was 100% scripted and planned.
He's got them all, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I think it changed the way people look at wrestling. I think it changed. I you know what I mean. But the thing that the Elite did with a Cody and a Bucks and they took his words and said, instead of taking our ball and going home, we'll go get our own court. And I think a lot of that, what he did and what he sparked and what he spoke about, changed professional wrestling to what we have right now. And the fact that we can turn on TV all day long and there's a wrestling on, or the fact that we can go and subscribe to Fight or and watch thousands of hours of wrestling, or go to IWTV and watch thousands of hours of wrestling.
You can watch fucking, man, they got Ohio Valley Wrestling is free on fucking
YouTube. It's
on
everywhere.
Roku, on yeah. Like all of it. It's great, dude. It's everywhere. Like
CM Punk kind of put the light on, saying like, some of your best talent in the world is wrestling in a high school gym this weekend. And like, mm-hmm. He made people pay attention to wrestling more than just the company of WWE. They went back and they're like, I need to become a smart fan so I can understand this stuff, you know?
Well, and that's where I'm going, though, with the Elite. Because never before, we've had territories before, but I don't think we've ever had them cooperating like this.
It's pretty crazy, and who knows what's coming. Is that Shane?
No.
Who jumped off? Oh, DDJ is driving and talking on the phone.
That's really fucking dangerous.
Damn it. God damn it. As long as you're drinking.
My hands are on 10 and 2 right now. So.
Oh, you're getting pulled over. I see the lights.
As long as you're drinking alcohol, it's okay.
I drove by too. Right. Someone else getting pulled over.
As a member, as an official member of the Dark Order, I don't approve you driving while I'm chatting.
danger. Oh shit. Okay. So we've talked.
So hold on a second. I got to say this. How did a PA boy miss out on this song when he's going on about CM Punk? I mean, how do you not play this one here?
It's not on my buttons.
He's only got 5 buttons available.
Hey, you hear that drum hit? You hear that drum hit, baby?
Oh yeah, I know what you're doing.
You got, look at that. Look at your signatures.
I got 5 and I got 10.
Nice. Oh. Yeah, I knew someone who thought he was 11.
I actually met them and I said, can I take a picture or two in the pose? And we all, like my podcast team and some of the behind the scenes of the company we were working for, got in with 10 and 5. And Jillian Hall sit at a table. I'm like, Jillian, get in this. You're in the Dark Order now. So Jillian Hall got up and did it with us. And nice. We tweeted it. And then the official Dark Order retweeted it, like, said, join the Dark Order.
Oh, shit. All right, so we talked a little bit about McMahon changing the business. We also talked about Hogan changing the business and being impactful. So, age-old question, a chicken and the egg kind of thing. Who made who? Did Hogan make Vince McMahon, or did Vince McMahon make Hulk Hogan?
Bruno Sammartino made them both.
Oh, shit. All right. God damn.
That's the real answer.
Coming with the fucking fire, baby. Yeah.
No. Damn. He's coming with the marinara.
Oh, the mariner, the sauce. The
I have a really cool answer. Graphic novel comic about the. It's called The History of Pro Wrestling. It's a graphic novel comic book. It's really, really good. And one of the artists who did it is the Tony Schiavone book that's coming out really soon that I kickstarted. And I'm getting a lot of really cool bonus features for kickstarting that because it hit like a $40,000 goal. So
nice,
yeah. Wow, it drops to this November.
That's awesome.
That's yeah. So I mean that is a great answer. Does anyone else have an answer that can top that one?
Well, I think that Vince made Hogan more than Hogan made Vince, because Hogan was already like an established star. He was well on his way in the AWA. But when Vince McMahon had a chance to get him, he got him, and he took him to that next level. So I think it's more that Vince made Hogan than Hogan made Vince.
Joey, you got an answer? That's a good one.
Yeah, it is good because, man, that's a hard call because, you know, that was actually the first domino to fall. That's why we get to today where Vince thinks he makes stars all the time. You know, but the reality is he did take an established star from a pretty large territory. And, you know, and going back, yeah, Bruno made them both. You know, Vince doesn't get to the point where he gets to make his star, as he's calling it, and, you know, without Bruno. I mean, that's a genius pick.
Yeah, I think that is. Dozer, you got something?
Gorgeous George.
Gorgeous.
Now, on this George. One, I was going to go with Bruno. I was actually going to say Bruno, and then somebody jumped faster than I can.
No, good.
Because I'm glad slow. That thunder got stolen.
It's okay. That's okay. We like that. We like that. It makes us. It keeps us humble. It makes
us fun. It's fun when you find out who you're on the same brave length. The brain length. Waves length. Yeah. I can't even fucking. I'm high and drunk right now.
Yes, that's the SPS.
I'm crossfaded right now.
Fuck yes.
Intoxicatingly entertaining.
Yes, absolutely. That's the catch. So so Attitude Era overrated. I think we sort of touched on that already. So. I'm just gonna skip that one because I do think it's overrated. It was fun, but yeah, we already did.
A lot of the stuff in the Attitude Era, really, when you go back and watch it now, most of it doesn't really age well.
Okay. Puppies.
No. Okay. So going back a little less far, Brock Lesnar ended the Undertaker's streak at WrestleMania 30. In a pretty shocking moment, if you fantasy book the end of the Undertaker's streak, what do you have happening? Who ends it? Do you think that was the right choice? Yes, no. Where do we go? Where do you go with that?
No.
DDJ, you say no. Who
should have?
Yeah, go.
Book it.
I'll be honest with you. Who should? It should have been Bray Wyatt at 31.
Oh, okay. We're talking about a fired WWE employee beating the Undertaker streak.
All right. That's a hot
crazy.
Take. That's a hot take. What do you got then, Mr. Blackwell?
I think it goes down exactly the way it went down. I like Brock is the absolute clearest best choice there. My bias side wants to say Shawn Michaels, but we don't get that amazing send off for Shawn Michaels if it doesn't go down the way it goes down. It had to be Brock, and Brock has definitely since then have passed that torch and tried to put other people over as well, even though sometimes it may not look like it. But I'll touch on that in a second. But no, I think it's 100% Brock. Brock definitely beats his streak.
I see it. Brock was perfect. I disagreed at the time with it, but it was perfect. The only thing I would have changed about that. Is I would have had The Undertaker end there. The streak ends, he ends. The streak is what kept him going. Yeah. And if you asked me to book this 5 years ago, 6 years ago, however long years ago that happened, I probably would have said Kane because it would be more poetic.
I'm cool with that.
Even though their WrestleMania matches tend to suck.
Yeah, I was one of the few people. I mean, I was watching with two good friends, both of which are huge Brock Lesnar fans, myself included. Brock Lesnar's top five all time for me. And I jumped out of my fucking chair. I was fucking screaming at the top of my lungs. I was so excited. It's one of the few times I've literally like lost myself in a moment watching wrestling on from my couch at home. Completely shocked because it was one of those things that like there was zero expectations of Lesnar to win that match. Like I don't think anybody went in saying Lesnar was going to win that match, and anyone
I don't
who
think
said
Paul it, Heyman was expecting it.
Yeah, and it was just such an awesome moment. People were pissed, and I think that just made it all that much better. You know, like it was perfect, and I agree that was the way it should have been done. I don't know. I don't have anything or anyone that could top it because love him or hate him, you look at a guy like Lesnar and he legitimately could kick the fucking shit out of anyone on that roster.
Yeah, I definitely want to say real quick, I was someone who was very, very against Lesnar for a long time, and then listening to a lot of podcasts and people speaking super highly of him, and people I actually respect. That's why I listen to the podcast with their interview. His goal is at the end of his, he comes in, he does what he does with his, I'm only here, I'm only a part-timer. And then all the smart fans think they're reading into something that's all, they're just being completely worked. Like Brock Lesnar worked every smart fan that mm-hmm. entire run, where because they put it into the story where he's only a part-timer, he come, and people were legit crying and upset by it. Then he comes in and cleans house in that Rumble, and everyone's like, are you kidding me? Like, I don't care if you think you're the smartest fan in the world, you were screaming at your TV, this is why I hate WWE. And then Drew McIntyre kicks him out of the ring, and a star is born after 3 years of booking. A star is born, and unfortunately we have COVID, and the guy gets everything gone.
Yeah,
and that's the thing, is I totally agree, and that's the thing, is like, if you have a guy like him, you have a guy like the Undertaker passes his torch, which is arguably one of the most important like respect torches in the business.
Yeah, there's not another name when the gong hits, mm-hmm. you're fucked. I mean, yeah. Kane's music hits, but still people beat the shit out of Kane. He was a monster, but he became somewhat human.
The glass breaks.
But that's still a thing. But like, I'm saying from like a true monster.
And now,
the TV static.
You hear Brock's music, you're like, I'm dead. I'm going to die right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
Brock absolutely, though, is one of those guys.
By the way, we make fun of Cena's five moves of doom. Brock Lesnar basically sits there and goes, yeah, I'm going to German suplex you for 10 minutes.
Dude, that match with the fucking like 19 suplexes to Cena. That was them killing Super Cena. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't really realize it, but you look back now, what happened to Cena's career trajectory in WWE after that match, and it was
humanized him.
Yeah, and I mean, it was great, but it was great. Goddamn, dude, took him to Suplex City, and it was just fucking...
That was the moment that WWE acknowledged Cena's going to be big as fuck, whether he wins every match or loses every match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cena lit that torch. Mm-hmm. Cena passed, that was a passing of a torch moment. How do you guys have, so the returning Brock Lesnar, who does he put over on this run?
I mean...
Roman.
I mean, that's the one that makes the most sense to me.
Can I give
you? I don't think Roman's not losing yet, unless the Fox or USA execs get too much in Vince's ear, which
I mean, I think
a real possibility.
I also think a very real possibility is The Rock and Roman.
Here you go.
Oh, that's the big money, but
so that has to happen at Mania, right? But does it need a title to be important?
No.
It doesn't at
yes.
all.
Yes. The stipulation of the title.
Head of the table is bigger than the title.
But is he the head of the table if he doesn't have the title?
But I also, I don't think that the match itself should be for the title. I think Roman should still hold the title, though.
So here's my fantasy.
I think it should be for the head of the table, not for the title.
Yes. So the head of the table happens with or without a title, because this is not just the head of the table when it comes to the company. It's the head of the table for their family. So you don't need a title. You can easily switch away from I think I'm the badass of the show and just say I'm the badass of my family. So Brock beats Roman, takes a title from him. He's going into Mania. He's dominating everybody. And what better way to, once again, long-term storytelling, it happened on TV, then it happened on Talking Smack, and then it got waves on the internet, and all the smart fans start buying into it, where Kofi was squashed by Brock Lesnar and ruined Kofi Mania. Big E goes on Talking Smack on a publicly show and says, I think it's bullshit the way this company treated Kofi. I think it's bullshit a guy comes in and just does it to my boy. Big E right now has money in the bank. What better way to put over a brand new upcoming star? Brock Lesnar passes that torch to a Big E and hopefully gets that Drew McIntyre push now that we have a live audience and doesn't get buried by COVID.
And he was allowed to go on the oral sessions.
Yeah.
All right. I like that. I like that a lot. Now we're getting close to the end of the show here. But speaking of oral sessions, that legitimately gets into my next question.
Best podcast. No offense to anyone here, but she is hands down my favorite podcast to listen to. I think it's amazing.
Oh, dude, no offense at all. My favorite podcast is called Cumtown. So come if you want to fucking listen to a great podcast with three people who truly don't give a fuck about anything, listen to Cumtown.
Sorry, trying to distract Isaac.
No, I'm asking the next question. I'm asking the question. You can play music all day long. Okay, so if you had to, gun to the head, you had to suck one wrestler's dick.
Oh my goodness, that's where this is going.
That's exactly where this is going. I want to know whose cock you're throating. Shane's not here to stop me. Shane is usually the fucking...
But I am.
I can add myself back these days though.
I know it's a fatal flaw in letting you run the show.
It is absolutely a fatal flaw. I mean, I could start it. I mean, and I know I said he's not a wrestler anymore, but I'm gonna just use him because he is the Rock. I mean, come on, Jesus fucking Christ. Just one smile.
You want some strudel, don't you?
Yeah, dude. I just want to smell what he's cooking. That's all. Okay.
I think me trying to be like, oh, hey, gay bro, and the best way to answer that and still kind of keep my manhood a little is I'd have to pick someone who is slaying a lot of chicks. So at least like there's remnant of some vagina. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So like you got to go with like a Flair, a Ziggler.
Ziggler, you know? Ziggler is definitely up on that list just because of Sonny. Another one, speaking of Sunny Kiss, like, dude, with that ass, like, you know, like you can almost pretend.
I got a selfie. Look. I got a selfie with Sunny Kiss at the baseball game.
My wife was watching Dynamite and says, holy Hannah, she has the best butt I've ever seen in my life.
It's incredible, yeah. Dude. That shit is fucking slamming, dude. Yeah, dude.
I'm going to go for the massive... If I'm going to have a story to tell, I'm going to make it a hell of a story to tell. And I'm going to go with Swoggle.
Oh shit.
My brain went the complete opposite. I thought you were going like Andre the Giant.
That was where I was at. No. I was like, shit, he's going for the biggest.
Just no fucking hammer piece just hanging there. And you're just two-handing it.
Like, I'm changing mine. I'm going Dink.
Fuck. Oh, shit. Get out of my head, man.
DDJ. I want to know DDJ's
name. Man, I'm so glad that I'm in my car and not staying in my house where my wife could potentially hear this.
So don't add her to the stream. Oh, my bad.
Wow. So I just come from like the most fun softball game I've ever been to. Just like coming to hang out with my guys. Never did I expect that I would have to answer a question like this. So.
Yeah. So whose dick are you sucking?
Yeah. Whose dick are you sucking?
You're circling, man. You're circling.
Does it have to be a real one?
I mean, you're not going to really suck.
Can I say something along the lines of like, yeah, if you slap a strap on, say, let's.
No, no, it's got to be flesh. It's got to be flesh.
No, because that's the next question.
Jade Cargill.
Yeah, man. Wow.
He's just, all right, we're going to, wait, who is it? Who is it?
I don't know.
Man.
Bray Wyatt.
No, I don't know. He doesn't look like the kind of guy that takes care of him.
So. All right, we're gonna answer for you. It's gonna be Jake the Snake.
Oh hell yeah!
All right, so there he's gonna be throwing this.
Who knows where that thing's been?
Yeah, you're gonna be going down on Damien, buddy.
Oh god!
Oh shit!
For this?
Yeah, you did. Well, I'm just going. I'm skipping right to the last question because we're right here at the end.
I never even gave.
Oh
mine.
Shit! That's right. Yeah. I thought you got excited about the idea of Dink, and then I want to know. Yeah, I want to know who Joey K is giving the old premiere to.
I mean, mean, I'm just gonna be honest with you, man. Probably fucking Giant Gonzalez. I want to see what he's packing. I guarantee you,
it's exactly the same as that muscle suit. The thing he's hiding, he's packing the world's tiniest bird.
He has hair on the top of it, like all like a caterpillar.
It's all fur and a tiny little bird.
Hey, I like, look, man. I'm getting older. I got a bad hip. I can't get down on my knees. At least I'm fucking like
there. You go,
probably too. Smart. So, I got a game plan a little bit. Legit. Know what I'm getting into. And plus, I'm not – everybody's, oh, this is giant hog. Dude, I'm not trying to fucking gag and choke, man. Yeah. Like, so –
yeah, I get you.
Hey.
I mean, who am I kidding? You know, I'd fuck them all, whatever. So last but not least, because DDJ brought it up, you know, which female wrestler would you let peg you?
I mean, stick up my answer, Jade Cargill.
Yeah, mine is a fucking any of them, honestly. But I think, like, going back, like, God, Luna Vachon, how much fun would that be?
Oh no, you're that's gonna be, yeah.
Get her. Remember when she had fucking gold dust with the leash? That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at.
Wow.
I feel like if I pick Jade, even if I try to back out, there's no chance I can.
you're going to get fucked, boy. You're going to get fucked.
You're getting fucked.
You're going to squeal like a pig.
Yo, I actually, if you have time, I have one last question because it's going to be pretty big this weekend.
I would love
to. We'll ask it, but we got to get through this question first because I haven't heard everybody's answers.
Yeah. Strap ones first.
Man. This is such a tough call, because do you go like the Jade route where it's just like, man, even if I'm not into it, it's probably happening, so I'm taking it.
Well, that's the thing with Luna Vachon too. Is
like, oh yeah, like let's not forget, she's from a family.
This is a horrible idea because Jade has tons of stamina, I bet.
Oh, China is another one because she could peg you without a strap on.
Someone not good cardio so it gets done quicker, because you can't wait for them to finish. It's a strap on.
Oh, come on, dude. You can't. Yeah, that's true. So that's true.
Man.
What did you say? Yeah, I'm curious.
You're trying to pass a thing? Someone that doesn't have a lot of stamina?
No.
You know what? Okay, I got an answer for this one.
Yes.
I go, and this is going to be really off the wall, but I go with this because she just strikes me as someone that would be way too nice and take it easy on me. I'm going to go with Leva Bates.
Someone tweet his wife.
I'm getting on it right now.
So what you're saying is you're looking for like that gentle cuddling. I mean, I feel like that would happen.
Just to reach around.
No, yeah. but let's be honest. DDJ, you are one of the sweetest human beings I've ever met. And that makes perfect sense. No, you seem like a cuddler. So
who's clearing your path, Dozer?
The bunny.
Oh, that's a good pick.
That's a solid pick.
All right.
I'm going old school though, because I didn't throw mine in there. I'm gonna go Missy Hyatt, just for the fact that, like, you know, growing up, I probably slapped the ham about 330 times to her. So
yeah,
you know, like I feel like I owe something back. You know,
I tried to get her on Such Good Shoot, and she was like, "Yeah, I'm not doing that right now." And I'm like, "Well, I'll message you back." Because all I really want is, yeah, I just want to fucking, I mean, I watched enough of her OnlyFans and shit, and then she's got the porno that she did where she gets dick down on the couch and does anal. Oh, it's great, dude. It's fucking awesome.
Who are we talking about again?
Sunny.
Oh.
All
right,
gents.
Yeah.
I just got home, so I'm bowing out, man. So y'all have a good night.
All right. Tell the missus that we said hi and that you want to get pegged.
Yeah. I was at a show she was just at, Sunny. So.
Oh yeah, and also have fun explaining the whole Damien thing.
Yeah, I don't think we're even gonna talk about that. That's gonna be one of those things that gets
we're gonna talk about it
later.
We're gonna talk about it forever. Love you, brother. Have a
we're
great
t shirts, man.
Later, brother.
T-shirts. All right, so we have one more question here from Anthony. What you got?
All right. So this weekend, We're all in, we're all out. I don't know. We shake it all about. We have a lot of free agents. Names are available. Who is showing up at this pay-per-view? And do we get more than one name that drops?
Oh, you know what? Honestly, I think it's a bad idea to bring anybody in and take any sort of shine off trying to bring people on to whatever CM Punk and Darby Allin are going to do. I think put the focus of all, of that whole show. I mean, CM Punk, like, if you're not going to put anything behind him now and you're going to try and just, like so quickly bring someone else in, it just doesn't seem like the right timing to me. But at the same time, I also am a grumpy old bastard, so, like, I can't pay attention to more than one thing at once. That's my opinion. But, I mean, I do see Daniel Bryan showing up.
There it is.
Just because it's Daniel Bryan and it's Tony Khan. And...
yeah, because they were supposed to do New York, but now they're getting worried with low, maybe possibly having a lower capacity people, so they want to push up to the pay-per-view.
Yeah. But I would think you would think that they would want to try and get it on their fucking their Friday show that they're trying to fucking pump up ratings for. That
You never know. They may. We don't know.
Yeah, but that do you get into like that rut of like, okay, I'm only watching Rampage because I want to see who shows up next.
It's the only reason
you're watching.
Yeah, yeah, true. It's all about putting asses in seats. I'll hit mine real quick. The Daniel Bryan one I think is the obvious choice, but I would not be surprised to see Adam Cole show up. You know, especially with Andrade versus mystery opponent.
He doesn't have a no compete.
He is free. Oh,
because because he had been on a fucking just short term extension.
Yep. So
that wouldn't have mattered because his contract ended.
Yeah. He didn't ask for an early release or anything.
They should have released him the day before. Gotcha for 90 days.
But I think they could only keep it till the end of his what would have been the natural end of his contract. It's happened with other wrestlers.
I think you can opt out of the 90-day package, but you just don't get paid for 90 days. So I think a lot of people get a big check in those 90 days, and that's why they stay in there.
Has Cole ever wrestled Punk?
Well, boy, do I want to see that. Yes. So here's my lock of the night. You can say this is 100% happening, and it's not any of the names you said, anyone said. I think we get a brand new Joker in the all-women's Battle Royale, and I believe Ruby Soho is going to show up at the pay-per-view.
Okay. Yes. I've heard of that being so much a lock, I didn't even consider
it. Yeah.
A surprise.
Yeah, but you also have some interesting things with that battle royal as well. Do you pull out some more guns and really show, hey, we have a fucking women's division here and we're going to show it off at this battle royal? Because you have names that's just still floating out there. You have names like Mercedes Martinez. You have the new what are they called now? Not the Iconics.
The Iconics.
Yeah, but Inspiration.
God damn.
Inspiration.
That Instagram post or Twitter post they dropped.
They have a very good podcast too. Their podcast is very entertaining. Offer Chops. I enjoy it. Or you have a possible Tessa Blanchard who's been training and trying to get back into ring shape. So it's very interesting to see who can have who could show up there. You have my buddy Murphy, who's now free. Mm-hmm. And you have Braun Strowman, but I don't think Braun Strowman's coming there. But
everyone's saying he's going to TNA, right?
Yeah.
Which is honestly is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
After his big fucking stinky pouty fucking thing about I'll never go wrestle anywhere but WWE.
Yeah. TNA. The guys should fucking go get a real job.
Oof.
Yeah.
I mean, and TNA now is probably at some of the best it's ever been, but
yeah.
Even still.
That's because my boy's about to win that world title.
If we're predicting random appearances at All Out, I think they're finally going to get a new ref.
Chris Levin.
No, I think the Young Bucks are going to hire their boy Drake Wirtz.
Out of here. I thought you were going Mike Chioda. I was like, damn, did he tell you something?
If AEW hires any refs in the world right now, the two that are on or three on my radar have to be fucking Chris Banks, Chris Levin, and Ref Gina. They're fucking.
They need
refs that can actually.
This is
five occasionally
that they talk that we talked about when we talked with Mike Chioda is they need him. They need Mike Chioda to be in there. He doesn't need to work any matches. He just needs to train the refs how to be referees. Because fucking A, dude, the man was trained by fucking Gorilla Monsoon and Gorilla Monsoon's son to be a referee. Like if anybody
I had Mike Chioda twerking in the ring. Well, I tried to get Mike Chioda to twerk in the ring, but he didn't do it.
Dude, he is fucking cool as hell. I want to get fucking hammered with him. That was a really fun interview.
He has a really intense voice if you never heard it before.
Oh, it's beautiful. So Jersey.
Oh my god, I love it.
he's got a 45 cigarettes.
He's got a great voice.
I listened to him on Chris Van Fleet and I was not expecting that voice out of him.
Yeah, yeah. If you guys haven't anybody watching, if you haven't listened to our interview yet, go back. It's on YouTube. It's on all of your audio.
It's on your
podcast.
Podcast.
I'm not gonna spend any more time promoting my shit. I want you guys to promote your stuff. The Premier Joey K, you and DDJ, you have a show. I want you to talk a little bit about Shooting Shit.
Yeah. So we just dropped this past week on Tuesday. Very first episode. It's still getting out there. You can find it on Spotify.
What's it called again? Breaker.
Called Shooting Shit.
Shooting Shit.
Look at that. Oh my god.
Got the overlay in here. All right. Oh, look at
this guy. I'm sorry, we don't have that for you.
That's all right.
It's a fun show. It's a collection of us. We've been friends for a little while now, and finally, the timing and stars aligned. We got to get together, and we have a great. It's a little bit of a roundtable discussion. We hit some new stuff, current stuff. We hit some old stuff. Specialty. I know we did our very first. We just did a little bit of a test run for SummerSlam weekend. We all do the hot takes of who's Mr. SummerSlam. We all know who Mr. WrestleMania is, but who's Mr. SummerSlam? And what was the best match from Backlash 2007? The shit that you never knew you wanted to know and you might not, you're going to want to know it. So we're having a good time. It's we're already though. We're looking for time for recording this week just because the boys are at in Chicago for All Out weekend. Crazy bastards. Yeah. So
DDJ, dude, son of a bitch, dude. For a guy who wants to suck Jake the Snake's cock.
Literally said that too.
That's how we won.
Oh, but dude, no, he fucking got. And I, you know what? I don't care. I don't give a fuck, dude. He got, because karma is one of the most beautiful things in the universe. Karma is a gorgeous, fucking beautiful, sexy, big-titted bitch with a tight little snatch. DDJ.
Big tits, fucking, yes, but karma, I don't think, had tight anything.
Dude, she's got a tight little snatch because she will fuck you if you don't watch out. And she did her thing, and DDJ got a fucking sweet. What a sweet, a legit, a real sweet, not some fucking made up shit. He won a real sweet All Out, and fucking nobody.
He won it.
Yeah, he won it from what was it? Pro Wrestling Tees.
Yep.
They did. How much I fucking spent on that website? They owe me a fucking sweet.
Yo, he fucking he won the contest. They called him up, and honestly, I can't think of anyone more deserving of it. He lives in the area, which is great, but goddamn, dude, I was so stoked for him. He's going to have so much fun. So I'm glad that you guys are still going to be able to find some time to record, but he's
the boys are going to have a great weekend. They're already at the softball game tonight, so they're having the time of their lives out there. I know Jovan too. Jovan's in the fucking specialty seat, take home seat section. So, DDJ's in a suite. Jovan's got a fucking collector's chair to take back home to Texas.
He should fucking grab that chair and bring it up to the suite and hang out and get some food.
I'm just saying that fucker better buy me a shirt, because if not, I'm going to be very real salty.
At the very least, man, shit. Yeah. All right, so Shooting Shit, part of the Johnners Podcasting Network.
Absolutely.
Anthony, what you got, man? I want to hear you plug your shit.
I do a ton of podcasts, but the only one that probably you guys care about is Tornado Tag Podcast. And I recently just joined the network. Very excited to be a part of this team. And that's how I was able to jump in here. Like, I'm just some stranger coming in. But yeah, the Tornado Tag Podcast, we've been going for about 3 years now. Just started as a bunch of friends talking in a kitchen. And one of the people on the panel is a local independent star, Andy Hedder. And he trained Chikara, got to wrestle some pretty cool names. He's been doing it for, I think, about 15 years. But, yeah, so we've been doing it about 3 years now. Got to do some cool opportunities. I help with the production of Camp Leapfrog. I also do some commentary in our local promotions in the area, and it's all because of podcasts and people supporting and putting our name out there. So very, very grateful for any new listeners. And I'm excited to be part of the network and meeting great people like you.
Outside of wrestling, you do other podcasts outside of the whole wrestling thing?
Yeah, so I have my own network called the IWEP Network. So I do an interview show where I just talk to random people or anybody and just learn about their story and learn about them. So it's like, best way to describe it is Joe Rogan, but not with celebrities. It's just everyday people.
What about the Kratom? You still got Kratom?
What do you mean?
Kratom, you know, like the fucking herb that's supposed to cure all your shit.
That and DMT. We do it all the time.
DMT and Kratom.
New stuff that they're taking, the horse tranquilizers or whatever. They're shooting horse semen in their veins. And then I do a show called Bangin' Beers Podcast. We review craft beers, mostly in the Pennsylvania area, but all over.
You know that I went to fucking graded school with Sean Hill of Hill Farmstead Brewery.
Really?
Yeah, dude. When I ran my food truck, I fucking parked it in the brewery parking lot.
That's sick.
My dad is a newspaper writer, and like when Sean first, before he even opened his brewery, he did like an article on him and like brought me up there and we're drinking. I was like, this is fucking pretty good.
Dude, we show up and do podcasts at breweries and they're just like, I'm like, just give me four of your beers. We'll talk about it. They're like, oh, so you want all 16 of our beers? And I'm like, are you driving me home?
Yeah, dude, especially out in the middle of nowhere in Vermont, dude, to get up to a hill is like, you're driving. Yeah. That's awesome, man. That sounds really interesting.
I do one called Not Cool in High School. That's like pop culture, movies, television, comic books, just any all that news. And then the newest one that we're bringing back, it was there for a while, but I couldn't do it with working my jobs I worked, is Truth Behind Illusion. And that one's like cryptids, conspiracies, ghosts, goblins, demons, all that fun stuff.
Hell yeah. Oh, I like this. See, I'm glad you didn't just stick to the wrestling, because I'm actually more interested in the other stuff than the wrestling. Because I'll be honest, like, I like wrestling, but I don't know anything about it. I host a wrestling podcast, but it's just an excuse for me to do drugs.
Oh, out of everyone who's on my podcast with me, I'm the least knowledgeable. Like, the two guys I work with are fucking encyclopedias.
Awesome. Well, that's like DDJ, dude, the wrestling Rain Man. So Dozer, do we have anything to plug?
Patreon? I was going to plug the Diz Idiots every Tuesday at 9:05.
Yes, Diz Idiots.
We have news from around the world. Disney World,
yeah.
And generally just a bunch of other nerdy non sequitur bullshit. I think next week we're talking about what if.
And I'm going to plug Cumtown. Go check out Cumtown. if you're easily offended, I didn't send you. But Nick Mullen is a comedic genius. And if you want to hear him do songs about sucking dick, this is their description of it. It's a show about being gay with your dad. On that note, I think Dozer, you want to do the outro? I did the intro, so you can do the outro.
Oh my god! I literally just drove that road. Yeah, underneath all that water is a road. I just drove that like 3 weeks ago.
The John.
Yeah, there is no Vine Street Expressway right now. But until next time, we have been such good shoot.
Whoa.
You know, he's Isaac.
Yes.
He's A. Blackwell Jr. He's the premier Joey K. And I'm Dozer with way too much fucking echo.
Yeah, dude, he's currently.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Such Good Shoot. If you are on YouTube, please remember to like, subscribe, and ring that bell icon. Or subscribe to us on your favorite audio catcher. Or finally, if you're on Facebook, leave a comment, like the video, and make sure to share it out to all your friends. Until next time, we have been Such Good Shoot, and have a great day.
Yay!
What the fuck?